You're listening to New Age Hipster Radio, home of spiritual rambles and high-vibe convos. Always dogma-free and a totally cool place to be. You can head to newagehipster.co for more spiritual awesome sauce, but for now, here's your host, Bix.
Hello, gorgeous souls, and welcome to another episode of New Age Hipster Radio. Today on the podcast, I'm doing a bit of a solo ramble on the topic of Kundalini yoga. There is so much to talk about when it comes to Kundalini yoga. I could sit here for hours and hours, days and days, telling you everything I know, and what I know is just the very tip of the iceberg compared to everything that there is to learn about and discover when it comes to Kundalini yoga. But what I really wanted to do was kind of just talk to you a little bit about what it actually is, how to do it, how to find out more about how to do it safely. I'm going to answer some of these questions. It's something that I see all the time. People have this idea or they have this question that it's dangerous in some way. So I want to kind of address that because I think that's one of the big things that people are a little bit unsure about when it comes to practicing. And yeah, just kind of seeing what else comes up, what else comes through. So where to begin? Okay, so for those of you who don't know me, or you haven't listened to previous episodes of the podcast where I just talk about Kundalini yoga all the time because it's changed my life, I started practicing in 2016, I think it was. And my very first class that I went to was an in-person class with Guru Jagat, and I thought she was very cool and very amazing, but I did not enjoy the yoga class. It was really hard. It was really, really hard physically, emotionally, mentally, and at that point in my life, I just did not have it in me to sit through the whole class and do the whole practice. So I didn't, and I walked out before the end, which is, you know, an interesting story considering now I'm making this podcast and I'm like, Kundalini yoga changed my life. So then what happened was Kundalini yoga kind of started to come on my radar a little bit more, and I did start following Guru Jagat because I thought she was cool, even though I didn't want to do yoga. And I started to really get interested in the things she was talking about, ended up doing some online classes. And from there, I just got really into it. And I was just like, this is just amazing. This is really, really good. Like, it's really making me feel good. It is helping me level up in lots of ways. And I just continued the journey until 2020. When we all got told to stay home, and I was like, well, if I got to stay home, not that I went out that much anyway, I was like, okay, I got to stay home. I'm going to do some yoga, just do extra yoga. So I did loads more yoga than I was doing already. And I got to the point where I was just really loving the practice so much that I wanted to learn more about the practice. So I signed up for teacher training, which was very much about, at the time, it was very much about me just wanting to learn more about the practices. I wasn't really thinking, oh, I'm going to be a Kundalini yoga teacher. I just want to understand where the practices came from, why they work. And I also did have some stuff. I didn't really plan to talk about that much in this video, but I was also concerned about the cultural appropriation aspect of it. So I wanted to really know what I was doing. You know, I wanted to really kind of go on that journey. I didn't want to be another white woman talking about an ancient practice from a culture that's not mine and not really having an understanding of you know, what I'm really doing and what I'm sharing. So that was another part of the reason that I wanted to do the training. So I did the training and I came out the other side with my certificate saying that I am qualified to teach. And even then I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with it, but I just knew that I loved the practices And then I just kind of started to get the niggles and the nudges, as we do on this journey, right? Like whatever journey you're on with your spiritual journey, or human journey, we get those nudges and we get those niggles that are kind of like, ooh, you know, I'm feeling like maybe I should do that, or maybe I should explore that, or maybe I should think about that. So I have been teaching for a year and a half, maybe 2 years now. I've been teaching something called Kundalini Magic, which are these really cool workshops that I do where I incorporate the ancient practices and also bring in some kind of witchy woo-woo stuff as well. I totally stay true to the practices. You know, this is something that you see a lot of people doing in the community. They learn Kundalini yoga, or they learn a type of yoga or a type of energy healing or a type of anything, and then they kind of change it and they make it their own and they call it something else. That's not what I've done. I have really just, you know, I take the practices and I teach the practices exactly as I have been taught them and as they exist in the teachings, but I also surround that with these opportunities to kind of think of things from different perspectives, do some journaling, some card reading, some other kinds of stuff as well. And so that's a little bit about my background in how I kind of discovered Kundalini yoga, I guess, and how I got into it. And I am teaching my very first 8-week course, which is going to be a physical yoga practice. It's still going to be Kundalini magic, because we're still going to incorporate those other elements into the classes, but it's going to be a physical class. So a lot of the classes that I've taught in the workshops, I have created them in a way where they're fully inclusive and anybody can attend, because they're very much mantra, just working with simple mudras, meditations, and there's not anything very physical in those workshops. But the course that I'm doing this month in July, I'm going to post this video soon, is going to be physical yoga. So if you're up for that, the link will be below and how you can find out more. But let's go back. I've been rambling for 7 minutes already and I haven't told you anything about what Kundalini yoga actually is. So a lot of people think it's weird. A lot of people think it's really weird. It's not something that's gone mainstream. It has not gone mainstream at all in the way that Hatha yoga or other types of yoga have gone mainstream, where you know, every little town in the world, maybe not the world, every little town in, you know, somewhere like Australia or the UK, the US, you know, it's pretty easy to find a yoga class. And if you can't find one in your town, it's not too far to get to a yoga class. And of course, online, everything's online too, which is great. But Kundalini yoga is kind of like this different kind of thing, and people are a little bit like, what, you know, what is it? Why hasn't it gone mainstream? Which I think is that's a really interesting question, and we might have a think about that, have a talk about that today. So people often think it's weird because they don't know anything about it. So a lot of people will say, oh, isn't that sounds weird, without even really having any understanding of what it actually is, which is fine, because something that's different and unknown, we often say, oh, that's weird to me, you know, that's weird, it's different, I don't know anything about that. So Kundalini yoga at its core is really essentially a practice that, guess what, raises the Kundalini energy. So what is the Kundalini energy? The Kundalini energy can be described in many, many different ways. And if you Google it, you will find so many different people describing it in lots and lots of different ways. And for me, I feel like it's one of those things that actually kind of can't really be described. It can really only be experienced and felt within your own physical body and your own energetic being. But if I had to describe it, to me, the Kundalini energy is really the divine feminine creative force. It's a creative power that we are all born with and that exists within us all. And for most of us, it's dormant. For most of us, we're not fully feeling like I'm in my power, I'm in my full divine feminine creative power. And that's okay, because most of, modern world and all of that jazz. So this creative power, this force, this divine feminine energy is said to lay dormant in the base of the spine. And people often talk about it as a snake curled up in the root chakra. That's kind of how we think about it a lot, but it's actually, I believe, and gosh, if I got this wrong, I'll sound like an idiot, but I'm pretty sure that the Kundalini actually means the lock, as in like the lock of hair, like the lock of hair of the beloved. So you can think about it however you want, though, right? But the snake is an easy good one to think about, because the snake is in a little ball, and then it, kind of uncoils itself as it rises up through the spine, up through the energy, and up out into the top of the head, into the crown. So when you have this energy laying dormant, it's just not working as well as it could for you. And that doesn't mean that you can't create things in your life if your Kundalini isn't awakened. It doesn't mean that at all, but it does mean that it's a lot easier when it is awakened. It's kind of like when you first start learning about energy and you first start learning about chakras and the energy bodies and things like that. And I know for me, when I learned a lot of that stuff, some of it was like, oh gosh, like I have really not thought about this at all. And this is really interesting to think about my energy in this way. And it was really useful. And then there were other things that I learned where I kind of felt like, oh, actually, I think I'm already doing that. I'm just, I'm already aware of that or conscious of that, but I'm not necessarily using that language. So, if you're watching this, your Kundalini is probably awakened already to some extent. You've managed to, reclaim your power. You're working with your divine feminine power, which is fantastic. And if you are already working with it, you could always work with it more. You can always upgrade. You can always level up. If you're like, Vix, I really don't feel like I'm connected to that at all, I don't think so, then Kundalini yoga can help you to wake up that energy and activate it. So when you wake up the energy, you're waking it up from the base of the spine, and it wakes up all your different chakras as it rises, and then it comes out the crown. It fills the aura. So you now have an aura that's filled with this creative power, this divine feminine force, whatever you want to kind of call it. And then you can go through your life feeling a little bit more empowered, a bit more connected, because a huge part of the Kundalini yogic teachings is all about connecting the finite with the infinite. So it's all about connecting with the divine around you, above you, within you. And so that's pretty powerful as well. But you'll find that people who practice Kundalini yoga, they have a little bit of a different energy about them. And like, I don't want to necessarily put myself in that box, because some really like cool people with some doing Kundalini yoga and have like a really cool energy. But you can kind of tell, like if you gather with other people that are doing these practices, there's something that you can kind of, I don't know, you can kind of feel it. You can kind of just go, ooh, ooh. And I know for me anyway, when I come across someone who does Kundalini, and it's partly because most people don't do it, but I get really excited and I'm like, ooh, 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 like a fellow journeyer on this journey, fellow traveler on this journey. So, it's pretty cool, it's pretty powerful. Is it dangerous? Let's talk about that. Is it dangerous? I have to be really careful how I answer this because this is going to be obviously made public because it's going on my YouTube account and it's going on my podcast. What I will say is, from my experience, I can only talk about my experience. In all the time that I've been practicing Kundalini yoga, I personally have never had a scary experience. I don't know anybody that practices Kundalini yoga that's had a scary experience. In all of the groups that I've joined, the Facebook pages, the communities I've been in, or the spaces, classes where I've met other people who are doing Kundalini yoga, I have never seen or heard of anybody having a scary, dangerous, unsafe experience. I don't want to say that it never happens, because if you Google it, you go down the rabbit hole of people who are having or have had weird experiences or scary experiences during this type of yoga. The thing about the Kundalini yoga that I practice, and there's a few different versions of it, there's versions that have come out of lots of different traditions. There is like a Hindu version, there's a Sikh version, which is the version that I've learned and that I practice. And there are other kind of branches, like with Hatha yoga, there's a lot of different branches, and a lot of teachers will take the teachings and they kind of make them their own and then they share them. And we're all getting like a version of a version of this system, which is actually very, very ancient. And it's part of what I love about it is that it does have a very ancient lineage. But there is a feeling that people have really tried to keep to the true teachings, keep to the original teachings as much as possible. But so there's a lot of different types of Kundalini yoga, and perhaps it's, I don't know, perhaps it's more likely that you'll have a strange experience with a different version, not with the version that I work with, not with the practices that I work with. But the Kundalini yoga that I do and that I teach is actually created in such a way to keep you safe and to make this a slow unfolding safely. Without just, I think there's this idea that you're going to walk into a Kundalini yoga class and you're going to have this like mind-blowing spiritual experience that changes everything for you. And then you don't know how to handle life from there. And look, I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but for me, what actually happened was a very slow process of a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And that's been good. That's been good for me to have that experience in that way. And I do believe that most people that practice Kundalini yoga in any form are doing it in this way of, I want to wake up this Kundalini energy. I want my Kundalini to awaken. I want to be more in my power. I want to be more creative. I want to be able to create and co-create my highest destiny with the universe and in this lifetime. But I also want to do it really safely and in a way that's going to feel really good. And that's what we want to do. So in the yoga that I do, it's all about that. It's all about, opening it up slowly, safely. You might find that you go to a couple of classes and nothing really happens. You might just be like me on my first class where I walked out because I was like, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And for me, it was a long process kind of after that, kind of, getting the Kundalini, you're starting to feel the energy, For me, it wasn't like this, wow, now my Kundalini is open. It's like these little bits over the last, like, what, 7, 8 years where every time I've gone to a class, it's like, oh, that felt good. Next class, oh yeah, I like that. Next class, yeah, I really felt something in that class. And then, you do it enough times and you start to feel like, oh, I think that Kundalini is really doing something for me. It's really helping me. So yeah, so that's my thoughts on that. However, what I would say is that if you are somebody who's susceptible to if you have some mental health issues, something like psychosis or something like things along those kinds of lines, it might not be the practice for you. It might be, but you want to make sure that you're really safe and you've got a teacher who can support you with that. So I'm still fairly new to teaching and I feel like I can support people in a lot of different ways, but that wouldn't be my area of expertise. I am more than happy to teach people who have a generalized anxiety because that's something that I have had and dealt with in my own life and to still deal with sometimes. So I know how to teach from that perspective. And things like low-level depression and things like that, Kundalini yoga can actually be amazing for anxiety and depression, as long as you're always seeking professional support as well as doing a little bit of yoga. But you really have to decide for yourself if it's right for you, depending on where you're at in life, how you're feeling mentally, emotionally. One thing about Kundalini yoga that I will say is your stuff will come up. Your stuff will come up. And anyone who's listening to this who's practiced Kundalini yoga even once, even one 3 minute meditation or one 11 minute meditation, you'll be like, yeah, your stuff will come up. And when I think about the very first class that I did, where I think it was one of the things that I really struggled with was the ego, they call it ego eradicator. And you have your hands like this. You can't see me if you're listening to the podcast, but basically, your thumbs are out, and your fingers are on the pads, and you've got your arms in the air at a 60 degree angle, and you're doing a breath of fire, which is a really fast breath, like through the nose. And you're holding the arms up. And you're doing this breath and your eyes are closed, and you start off doing it and you think, this is okay. Like, it's weird, but okay, whatever, maybe it's doing something. And about 1 minute in, you're like, okay, this is it's getting a little bit uncomfortable. And then you realize you gotta do it for 3 minutes. And I couldn't do it. The first time I did it, I could not do it. I could not hold my arms in the air. I was in physical pain, but not only that, I mentally and emotionally couldn't handle it. I couldn't hold my hands and arms in the air for that long. And there's nothing wrong with that because a lot of people start off doing Kundalini yoga where they're just like, I could not hold my arms up. Some people can never hold their arms up for that long, depending on, what's going on with the physical body. So it's not supposed to be a competition. It's really not. In fact, a lot of what we do in Kundalini yoga is done with the eyes closed. So when you go to a class with other people there, like a physical yoga class, in-person class, a lot of the time you've got your eyes closed, you can't even see what other people are doing. You can hear people breathing, you can hear people moving around, but you're not comparing yourself because you're not looking, you can't see anybody else, which I think is one of my favorite things about the practice. I used to hate going to a hatha yoga class and just constantly be like, oh, I can't do that, she can do that, oh, look, they can do this, and I can't do it. That brings up all your stuff in a different way. But when you're in these positions and postures, and that is part of what Kundalini yoga does, it puts you into some uncomfortable positions physically, and then it asks you to stay there for a certain amount of time. When it gets uncomfortable, you really have to sit with yourself. You really have to sit with yourself, and your stuff will come up. And one of the best practices that I've done in Kundalini yoga is 2.5 hours of chanting. And the first time I did it, I just was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Like, am I really going to be able to do this? This is so crazy. But when you sit with yourself for like, whether it's 3 minutes with your arms in the air or, you know, there's a lot of 3 minute meditations, 11 minute meditations. We do a lot of things for 11 minutes because it's such a magical number. But just sitting with yourself, your stuff will come up. So a lot of people don't want to do Kundalini yoga because they don't want to look at their stuff. Whether that's a conscious decision or an unconscious decision, whether it's because, you know, oh, well, you haven't really even, you got no interest in Kundalini yoga, you probably won't be listening to this for a start. But if you have absolutely no interest, you kind of heard of it, but you're just like, nah, whatever, then, you know, maybe it's not for you. But if you're listening to this and you're kind of like, maybe I am ready to have some of my stuff come up. Maybe I am ready to kind of dive deeper into the personal development, spiritual development world and see what else is there, then it might be that it's calling you. And I really, really have felt that on my journey, that this is a practice that often comes to you when you're looking for the next thing, when you're looking to go further and deeper, whether it's further and deeper within yourself to understand yourself, to connect with your own heart, your own being, your own soul, or whether it's that you want to go deeper into metaphysical practices, if you want to go deeper into learning about the energy bodies, if you want to go deeper into understanding the physical body, if you want to go deeper on any level, then Kundalini yoga might be for you. It's definitely something that is not for everyone. And that's not to say that this is the only way to do that work. For a lot of people, it's like, okay, you get to that point where you're ready for the next thing and something else comes up. Something else kind of comes into your awareness. So what else is there to say? Gosh, there's so much to say. I really am so excited to share with you about these practices, because they have been hidden for a long time and it's really cool that we have access to them now. And I feel really blessed and really honored to be essentially a wisdom keeper, to have learned some of the practices. There's many, many, many practices, and to be able to pass them on to you, it feels like such a real blessing and such a real honor, because this is something that has supported me in my life in so many ways. And I don't think it's any coincidence that since I started Kundalini yoga, my business started to grow. I started to get book deals with publishers. Just lots and lots of really cool stuff that's happened in my life that has all happened and kind of unfolded since I discovered Kundalini yoga. And maybe it's a coincidence and maybe it would have happened anyway, but I do feel like there's a real connection when I look back at these last few years of when I started doing these practices and what's been happening in my life and what's been changing and evolving in beautiful, beautiful ways. So I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what to expect if you go to a class. So if you come to one of my Kundalini magic workshops that are fully inclusive, it's a little bit different, but I'll tell you about what you can expect from a physical class, whether you come to a physical class with me or you take a physical class with anybody else. This is kind of the general gist of what will happen. So we always start with tuning in, and there's a couple of mantras that we chant together. And teachers will have their own way of doing this. Some teachers do both of the chants, some teachers just do one. It's really up to them how they want to open the space. And that's essentially what the mantras do, is they open the space and they protect the space. So the first mantra, I won't go too much into details, but the first mantra, I always like to think of it as you're connecting with your higher self. And the second one is like a mantra of protection, to protect yourself during the practices and the space that you're in. So we do those two. And then sometimes the teacher will have a chat and share with you some wisdom. And I really love that part. It's one of my favorite. It's one of my favorite parts. You just get to sit and listen to, some wisdom, some yogic wisdom. Something teachers might share something from the teachings that they found. They might share something that's happened in their own lives, something that's come through in their own practices. And then there's usually a physical warm up of some kind. And then you go into what is called a kriya. And these kriyas, usually the word kriya can be used in lots of different ways. But it's essentially a collection of movements or exercises all put together to create a specific outcome. So there's kriyas for everything. There's kriyas for prosperity, there's kriyas for love, there's kriyas for heart opening, there's kriyas for the different chakras, like anything that you want. I like to just Google search kriya 4 and see what comes up, and there's like all these different things. So you do basically like physical movements, and you'll often, they're all different, but you'll often do like 2 minutes of one movement and then 2 or 3 minutes of another movement, and then you'll do maybe a movement for 4 or 5 minutes, and then you'll do another movement for like 1 or 2 minutes. I really like to call Kundalini yoga like the HIIT, HIIT, for the energy bodies, because you're doing these lots of different things. You don't just kind of, it's not like you go to a class and you just hold your arms in the air for an hour. You get to do lots of different things. I really like that. I really dig that. So, yeah, so you'll be doing these different types of things and different movements, different physical movements, different breath work, lots of different stuff. Then once you've done the physical work, you get to lie down for a little bit and have a little rest. Again, one of my favorite parts of the class. And then we do like a meditation for about 11 minutes or so. That can vary, of course. But these meditations are basically kind of, do one thing for like 11 minutes, and it's usually just a mantra or a mudra, or maybe it might have a couple of different parts to it, but it's usually something that's, we're just going to do this one thing for 11 minutes. And then we finish with The Long Time Sun, which is this beautiful song, and I love the story of this. I can't remember the name of the band. Anyway, it's basically like a 60s folky kind of like folky pop song that the teachers at the time decided to bring into Kundalini yoga, and it's like, oh, we're going to sing this at the end of every class because it's a cool song. And now people sing it, and we, at the end of yoga class, we all like sing it very seriously, and like, oh, we're sending this beautiful blessing to the world, and it's very serious. And if you Google it, it's really quite amazing, like the original version of it. Anyway, that's an aside, but a little fun fact. And it just goes to show, how these practices do evolve and how it's okay for them to evolve as well, right? So, yeah, so that's what you can kind of expect from a class. And a lot of teachers will give modifications. I'm a huge fan of modifications. I have certain things in my body that mean that I can't always do the exact thing that's, in the teachings. So I like to explore and find a way to modify and get as close as you can to that outcome, without causing harm to your physical body. And thing is too, like, a lot of us in the Western world, we didn't grow up doing yoga. I did a lot of dance when I was young, but I'm still not super flexible. But yeah, it's, modifications are make these teachings accessible, right, to more and more people. So I think they're really, really important. So make sure if you're doing a class, make sure that you're asking your teacher, are you going to offer modifications? Not all teachers do. Some teachers just let you figure it out, figure it out for yourself. They'll show you what it is, and then it's like, okay, I've been to classes where it's like, okay, get into a half, like a half wheel pose or whatever, where you're on your back and you're trying to, and it's like, I'm not gonna get, gonna be able to get into that position. So it's like, okay, I'll just do some version of it and kind of, Okay, I'm doing it a little bit. So yeah, modifications are essential, I think, in these practices for so many of us. So what next? What next? If you're listening to this, you've listened to the whole thing and you're like, oh, I'm interested to learn more. There's people often ask me, where should I go to learn about these practices? And of course, being a Kundalini yoga teacher, the thing I say to them is, come to a class, come to one of my classes. I have a whole bunch already recorded on my shop. There's one that is called Introduction to Kundalini Yoga. I may actually redo that class and re-record it. But it's there, it's up there. And if you buy it now, if I ever do re-record it, you'll get access to the the new one as well, the re-recorded version of it. Only because I recorded it on the iPad, so it's not super clear, but it's still got some good stuff in it. It's still got some good stuff in it. And it really goes through a lot of the basics. So, what the mantras are at the start, why we chant them, and a few other things that are kind of important to know about. I have a bunch of other classes on my store as well, and I'm teaching my first course. This 8-week course that we're doing called Kundalini Awakening, and we're going to go through the 8 weeks. We're going to go through the chakras, and then the final week is the aura. We're going to work with the aura at the final week. What I've decided to do is, if you would like to join for the whole 8 weeks, you can do that and you will get a discounted price, and you'll also get access to a community where whoever joins will be able to connect, ask questions. I'll be there to answer questions as well. But if you just want to take like one class and try it out, then you're going to be able to do that as well. So yeah, you can just do like the first class and see if you like it. And if you do, then you could sign up and take the rest of them, or you could just do, whatever chakras you're kind of feeling drawn to. But in terms of finding out more, and apart from working with me and taking my classes, my suggestion is really just to see what happens, to do some Googling, to look at some hashtags. And I really feel like your teachers, you will find your teachers, or your teachers will find you. I think we spend a lot of time in the spiritual community, in all aspects of the spiritual community. We're so desperate for information that we're constantly like, we want to follow everybody. We want to get all the information. We want to watch all the YouTube videos. We want to, have it, and we also kind of want to have it all handed to us. And this is one of the things too with the Kundalini teachings. It's not really about having it all handed to you. So I can say, hey, I'm teaching. You can come to my class if you want to learn more. Otherwise, have a look, explore, see what comes up, see what you're drawn to. I have a few teachers that I know and I love, but they might not be the teachers that are right for you. So, it's really a kind of magical, intuitive process to find what you're looking for. A lot of my teachers have, frustratingly, not given me information or answers when I wanted them. And, part of me is just like, oh, why can't you just tell me all of everything, just tell me everything, and then I can move forward on my path. But actually, a huge part of the work, a huge part of the process when it comes to these Kundalini traditions is, where are you going to be led? What are you going to find? So, I don't want to give you a list of here, click on all of these links for all of the resources. I think it's a really powerful experience to kind of sit in that space. And this is what happened to me too, where I kind of had my first experience with the teachings, and then the teachings kind of came knocking. They were kind of, oh, I saw something came up on YouTube, or I'd see something come up on Instagram, and then I kind of follow the cosmic breadcrumbs, as I like to say. So my invitation for you is to follow the cosmic breadcrumbs, and maybe taking my class is, or one of my classes is one of those cosmic breadcrumbs, and maybe that will lead you to somewhere completely different. Who knows? Who knows? But you will find what you're looking for, I'm sure. So that's it. That's my little ramble and on Kundalini yoga. There's just so much, there's so much that I didn't even begin to cover in this. But hopefully it gave you a little bit of an idea on what Kundalini yoga is. And hopefully as well, if you had any kind of ideas about it being dangerous or something that you didn't want to dive into, hopefully this has, you know, put your mind at ease. I think anything on the spiritual journey can be dangerous if you go into it without knowing what you're doing. You know, if you're gonna like summon you could like summon an angel, and you know, you're not really, you got the names wrong, or you're not really protecting your space or whatever, you know, all sorts of stuff can happen. I've had some pretty weird stuff happen on my journey too. But you know, if you go into anything with the right intention, the right mindset, the right intention, a teacher that you trust, that you feel can keep you safe in the space, then, you know, you're probably going to be fine. Okay, that's it from me for this week. I hope this has been useful. I would love to know if you have questions, if you have questions about Kundalini yoga, if you have questions about anything at all on the spiritual journey, please post them below, send me an email, get in touch. I would love to make this podcast something that is useful for you. So if there's topics you want me to talk about, other things to do with spirituality that you're curious about, I would love to talk about those and hold that space for those conversations. One-sided conversations, I guess, are two-sided conversations if you send me a question first. So I'd love to do that. Please stay in touch. If this was useful for you, if you enjoy these episodes, please like, subscribe, give me a good rating, if you're into it. If you're not into it, then that's cool too. But I'm just sending you lots and lots of love on your journey from here.
You've been listening to New Age Hipster Radio. For more good vibes and spiritual goodness, head to newagehipster.co. Thanks for listening, and peace out.